Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly, because, frankly, BS doesn't. Anyway, I want to first of all wish everyone out there a very happy summer solstice. This is extremely interesting times, as we say, and being that this is the solstice, feels like some energies are in shift, and maybe they have both of between our choices, because we do have free will, but we also have encountering the umbrella effect of the weather around us, meaning our cosmic forces to be. Now, I've had an esteemed colleague of mine numerous times on my show, going way back, I think, going back actually since before the presidential campaigns of, I think it was 08, actually even right before that, during the first, when Obama first was elected, and she had predicted the outcome as well as the scandal that it affected with Edwards and so on and so on. Of course, I'm speaking of Carrie Fezza, and she is a Las Vegas-based, internationally known intuitive astrologer as well as tarot reader. She comes out straight forward like you'll hear her. She has also, on my show, predicted the economical unfortunate situation that occurred in late 08 through 09. And then in recent times, she's even predicted some of the three scandals, not in detail, but so that we're things were going to become more transparent from like left field within the Obama campaign. I remember I was arguing with her. That's why I know this, because I went, nah, come on, what could it be from him? I was thinking something else, but turned out, looking lo and behold. Now, she's also a former member of the National Council of the Geocosmic Research, as well as a board member at the Astrological Society of Princeton. Again, I welcome Carrie Fezza on my show, and I feel honored to have her. How are you doing, Carrie?
Good, and thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it. We have so much to look at today. Wow.
Yeah, talk about... You, I know everybody's going to ask us, what the hell is, again, Mercury retrograde? It seems like every time I have you on, there's like a retrograde. And yesterday, while we're in the shadow, I was having issues with my computer and glitches even on the side with you on my side. And I was having weird stuff happen there. And then I had my phone calls are breaking up. I even had people who I do readings for. We are getting cross-connected on timings and things. A lot of really weird stuff happening. I know the energy is almost—it's almost like the preempt of thing. But I want to first of all, what do you think about? I know I didn't want to get too much into this, but what is the retrograde and what? How do we? You know, just tell us basically what you're as an astrologist, what your ideas, understandings with retrograde, and what do you think we're heading into as we are going into this retrograde right now?
Well, Mercury retrograde actually begins next week on the 26th, but I attach a shadow period on each side, which usually lasts about 3 weeks. It goes to the degree from where it'll retrograde to, and then once it goes direct back to the degree that it retrogrades from. All this information's on my website, by the way. If it sounds a little confusing, you can read it at zodiacbuzz.com. So even before Mercury actually turns retrograde, and what that means is as Mercury rotates in the zodiac around the Earth, three times a year it appears to be going retrograde. It's like when you pull into a parking spot and the car next to you is pulling out. It actually feels like you're still moving forward, but you're not. It's that kind of motion where Mercury actually appears to be moving retrograde through the zodiac. All the planets go retrograde at one time or another. Of course, the sun and the moon don't because they're actually fixed stars. But But why Mercury retrograde seems to affect us so much on Earth is, number one, because it's one of the planets closest to Earth, and Mercury rules all the communication devices, telephones, cell phones, cars, communication and transportation devices, computers. So if people are experiencing lots of glitchy things, like my computer's been slow, my cell phone just goes wonky, cameras go weird, lights come on in your car, but there's nothing wrong with it. Just wait till August. This is a relatively short shadow period, but where Mercury retrograde lasts from June 26th to mid-July, the shadow periods are basically June and July. So if you can, avoid buying a new car or signing any kind of important contract if you can. And because Mercury rules communications, we want to be really careful what we say and how we say it, because even if you have good intentions, your words might be misconstrued. The positive side of Mercury retrograde, though, there's always a silver lining in every cloud, is that it's a really good time for family or any type of reunions, reconnecting, reaching out to people from your past. If you have to go back, if you really wanted to contact somebody, Mercury retrograde is a really good time to reach out to them. Pretty much anything you can put RE in front of is good. And again, I have a whole blog on this on my website, zodiacbuzz.com, under AstroBuzz.
Well, thank you for that explanation. It gets me nervous every time I see Mercury retrograde. And I think a lot of people do, but when my late teacher one time used to say that looking at retrograde is sort of, everybody looks at some things as negativity, and instead of you have to look at things, it's how you view things is how they come about. And she used to say that retrograde is sort of like our opportunity to learn to focus more. So it's like adding, and she would say it's like adding weight on your spiritual bench press to help you increase your spiritual growth. So if you're like, you know, you have to be more focused when you're conversing with somebody, being more clear, focus on driving or focus on certain things. It just makes us more, that much more acute of things, maybe to be more grounded, if you want to say it. But, you know, so people who are out there, don't take it as a negative. Look at it as a positive. I mean, that's the best things. You know, we tend to look at things really on a negative side a lot of times, and the scary factor and the fear factor, as opposed to embracing it and looking at a positive. But anyway, that was my spiel. Sorry. what else do you? I know you did a heavy analysis on things to coming along in the next 3 months or so, especially with our retrograde. But you had other things you wanted to discuss. What do you see?
There's a lot going on in that chart. This is a much more, there's just been so much happening this year in terms of, like you said, weather. Now, this morning, there's flooding in Alberta. I have tons of relatives up in Alberta. A little concerned for them. We've had tornadoes rip through the Midwest, right? Hurricanes. There's just so much going on in terms of weather. Then what else? We had explosions. Bombings, all that shows up in the solstice chart. And everything's kind of magnified this weekend under a full moon. We have a full moon every month because the moon only takes 4 weeks to rotate around the zodiac. But the last full moon was an eclipse, which made it even more intense. And recently they've been what we're calling now super moons, which is because the moon is really close to Earth. So this is the closest the moon will be to Earth until August 2014. So they call it a super moon, and you're going to feel it more intensely because the moon is closer to Earth. Therefore, its energy is more closer to Earth. And if you put the full moon in the solstice chart, the solstice is actually today and yesterday, depending on which coast you live in. But the full moon falls in the solstice chart within 8 degrees of Pluto, which is usually annihilation and then transformation through the ashes. And the degree that Pluto lies at is 8 degrees away from the full moon degree. So look for maybe some sort of crisis about 8 days after the full moon, which would be around July 1st.
Wow. A crisis? Okay. All right. That gets you nervous when you say that, but that's all right.
Don't be nervous. You do. People watch the weather forecast every day so they know what's coming. And you have said this before to me and on your show that astrology is like a weather report. It's not to be nervous. You just want to prepare. You're better prepared when you know something's coming. You're worse off when you're left caught off guard.
Right,
so we look at astrology not to predict doom and gloom, but to make us aware of what's coming. And there's, like you said, with the Mercury retrograde, there's lots of positives within the negative.
Right.
So, you know, what we say in astrology when you print up your birth chart is, do you live your chart or do you let your chart live you?
Right.
You know, it's the type of person who sees the glass half empty versus the person who sees it half full.
Right. That's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. No, it's just when you don't know what's going to happen and unforeseen and things like that, and everybody gets nervous about that. And, you know, sometimes things that catch us off guard and, you know, opens up other events for more of a positive. Sometimes we look at things in a fishbowl effect. You think of something's negative, but then out of the negative comes a positive too. So we tend to look at things positive and negative all the time. And in reality, there's neither or nor. But
well, there's also the collective unconscious. If everybody panics on something like the stock market, the weather, the economy, it creates a bigger effect.
That's exactly
so you have to be careful what kind of energy you put out there. Like the news perpetuates a lot of panic and drama. So if you're going for the drama, you could create a bigger situation.
But also, like, it can be something like something out of, you know, negative becomes more exposed. And like here, I'll give you an example. I mean, you had disclosed in the past when we were the unforeseen events would disclose some scandalous events within the Obama administration, and who would have known about the NSA? Now we're running into with Snowden, and they're trying to make demonize him, like just like they did with Daniel Ellsberg of the Pentagon Papers. It's like, and you had this is weird because you also said we're running in the during the times like the 60s and 70s. We're sort of like going back like that. I mean, you know, Obama's becoming like the new Nixon. And you know, and it's strange because he's right now, and I know we've got other stuff you want to get into, but we're going, which I know you did analysis, we're going through some similar things. And Nixon actually did a lot of good while he was during Watergate. You know, we had the EPA came out. He did the Protect the Air Act. There's a bunch of stuff he did right during the time of Watergate. And I think the scandalous affair of the NSA he's trying to compose is opening up, but then here he's doing the Immigration Reform Act, which will help better our economy in the long term and things. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry. I get long.
Oh, no. Well, it's interesting. And there's Obama's kind of been an enigma right from the beginning because nobody's really sure if he was born in this country or not. And I know a lot of people have liked to lay that issue to rest, but there's still some that believe that that's untrue, and we don't want to get into that. But if you take his birth chart for August 4th, 1961, and have him as being born in Honolulu, Hawaii, either way, he comes up a Leo. Now, the last couple months, since the end of April, within the past 2 months, we've had three eclipses. Eclipses magnify energy, and not just for the day they occur, but they fall in with the moon nodes, and they actually fall into about a two-year cycle affecting certain signs. And the eclipses in May and late April were affecting the fixed signs, which are Scorpio and Taurus, Aquarius and Leo. So these eclipses that we've had are directly reflecting on President Obama. What does that mean? Well, among other things, eclipses bring hidden things to light. And if you remember a couple years ago when eclipses were affecting the mutable signs, which is what John Edwards was, it came to light that he had an affair. Well, his wife had breast cancer and even had a love child with that person. So eclipses will expose things, and it looks like Barack Obama is being exposed directly. And the other eclipse we had, the most recent one, was affecting the mutable signs, which were Pisces, Virgo, Geminis, and Sagittarius. And that eclipse fell directly opposite Barack Obama's moon, which is in the bottom of his chart, the most hidden part of his chart. So all his secrets are really being exposed right now. And one prolific thing that stands out in his birth chart is self-undoing, wounding of the self.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because the one aspect they're talking about, you know, people don't realize, and this is, I'm still going back to history, because sometimes history repeats itself. It wasn't Nixon, the break-in of Watergate, that was that was bad, you know, when they went in and broke in, they were trying to, people don't know history, Watergate was breaking into the Democratic Party and the spying of Americans and all this, actually the Democratic Party and stuff. It wasn't that, it was the cover-up, because they kept on trying to cover it up and cover it up and cover up. And it's funny you said that, because they're finding out the cover-ups of, you know, he's trying to make an excuse for the NSA, but they're finding out cover-ups that I think also that they're covering up the direction of the scandal with Eric Holder, who is his attorney general, who was infiltrated Associated Press's email addresses and stuff. And there's question whether this is whether under direction of Obama. So it's the cover-ups that are occurring that end up destroying or directly affecting, which was saying, I know I'm hypothesizing, but it seems like that, unless there's something else that we don't know. And maybe that's what, you know, you had just said, that something catastrophic that comes out, that, well, not catastrophic, something surprising comes out, that there's something else that we don't even know about. And who knows, lately things every day in politics seems like a new surprise. So,
well, it's interesting that, you know, the eclipses do take effect, like I said, over a 2-year period. But right about when they hit, you know, we've had them April and through into June and the end of May, I'm sorry. And this is when all these things, and they were in the fall, too. November, and we're going to have two more in the fall, one in October and one at the beginning of November. So, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. And what makes it significant for President Obama is these eclipses directly affect his chart. So that's why he's going to be the one that's going to be, no, not just because he's the president, obviously, but the fact that he's going to be, he is being directly exposed. So, and if you factor in the USA chart, the USA chart, well, the one I use, okay, which is the Gemini rising chart, that got hit directly with the last eclipse 4 weeks ago. And right not far from the planet Uranus, which is the shocking and the unexpected. It also, ironically, rules explosions. We cover the bombings. And in the solstice chart, the planet Uranus, the shocking, the unexpected, earthquakes, explosions, it factors in a massive configuration directly with the solstice planets, too. So a lot of the stuff going on just prior to this time, because we didn't cover the spring equinox like we usually do on your show. We were both busy with our other endeavors, so we're kind of playing catch-up here. The recent events are, you know, relevant to what's happening, propelling the solstice chart right now.
Wow, so... So what you're saying, everything's sort of like basically we're like catch-up mode?
Catch-up mode, when anything affects the outer planets being Uranus, Pluto, and Neptune especially, and even Saturn, because Saturn's the bridge to the outer planets, these planets are so much further away from Earth, so their rotation through the zodiac is much slower based on the distance they are away. So their effects last longer and are more subtly profound, which I know sounds like an oxymoron, but they're going to have a more profound effect over a longer period of time, as opposed to a Mercury retrograde, which has a significant effect, but only for a very short amount of time. Do you follow me on that?
Yeah, I got you. So now you're saying now we're also having a full moon closer full moon, and I know and looking at your site, and everybody go do check this out, even though if you can at zodiacbuzz.com. I mean, you're talking about the full moon is also in Capricorn. What is that have effect on us as well as the United States at all?
Well, the Capricorn is the sign I equate with big business. It's the sign ruled by Saturn. It's about structure. It has a lot to do with corporate America, big business, old money. And when Pluto, the planet Pluto, which rules nuclear destruction, it's also a good representation for transformation. It annihilates things and builds out of the ashes. In 2008, when Pluto entered Capricorn, about 15 years, and finally left Sagittarius, we saw the immediate downfall of the economy. So this full moon is going to impact the economy, but how it ties in with the solstice chart is Capricorn lies directly opposite the sign of Cancer. Capricorn is the natural opposite and the natural partner to the sign of Cancer. When we usher in the summer solstice, we're ushering in the sun's entry into Cancer. Cancer also is the sign of the USA because July 4th is celebrated under the sun sign of Cancer. So the summer solstice is always directly related to us as a nation. And Pluto, in the sign of Capricorn, lies right opposite. In the last couple of years, it's been in a much tighter configuration, so we've been feeling a lot more intense effects, especially with the economy. At the same time, last couple of years, Uranus has moved into Aries, which rules the spring equinox, or the vernal equinox. Uranus, again, being the planet of the shocking and the unexpected. Uranus stirs things up. So with Uranus in a hard configuration to Pluto, we've been experiencing a lot of stuff over the last couple of years, and especially the last couple months. This effect is still there, but it's not as intense as it related to the solstices and the equinoxes a couple of years ago, and we covered on your show. What's also factoring in with this, and we're making what's called a T-square, is the USA's Saturn. In 1776, on July 4th, Saturn was in Libra, so it forms, it factors in with the fall equinox. So all these planets, Saturn, Pluto, Uranus, the sun entry into Cancer, is very significant because they're all in a tight configuration that challenge each other.
And then and so what does this all mean as far as, you know, basically inclusive of the full moon aspect? I know we're going to talk about the Jupiter within Cancer, but would that last through until, I think, July 2014? But what, or for all year, what do you see? How does this affect us economically or politically or whatever? I mean, we talked one time about sciences or health. How do you see, just from the full moon aspect, how is that, you know, going to affect us looking at like a weather report? Is it going to be sunny in June, or is it going to be hail with fire and broomsticks?
Well, the full moon aspect is, again, the moon's what the planet, what we consider a planet closest to Earth. So the full supermoon is only going to affect us for the weekend, for the very short amount of time, because it's not in a configuration with an eclipse. So this is just going to be a really intense weekend. It does fall in on the solstice chart. The moon rules Cancer, which rules our country. So, yeah, the economy is going to be a hot topic. You mentioned Jupiter's entry into Cancer. The day before Mercury goes retrograde, which is the 26th, which is next Wednesday, on Tuesday, Jupiter will enter Cancer, and why that is significant is Jupiter stays in a sign for approximately 1 year. It rotates the zodiac in a 12-year cycle, so that if you divide 12, it becomes 1 year for a Jupiter transit. So Jupiter on this Tuesday will enter Cancer for approximately 1 year, till mid-July of 2014. So the sign of our country, the sign of our summer solstice, is being blessed with Jupiter. And Jupiter is what we call the greater benefic planet. It's associated with luck and abundance. As of next week, it will be opposite the full moon, which is good because it magnifies the intensity of the full moon, but usually with a positive light. Jupiter expands whatever it touches. If you're a Cancer, Jupiter will be entering your sign. Worst case scenario, you could gain weight because Jupiter expands. But it also tends to bring you feelings of goodwill, luck, and abundance. Usually people gain weight when Jupiter's in their sign because they're feeling good. They're out eating more, drinking more, playing more, having a great time. So this is a very lucky year for Cancer because our nation falls under the sun sign of Cancer. This should be a fortunate year for the U.S. Also on the equinox, the planet Venus is in there, which is the lesser benefic. It's the lower octave maybe of Jupiter. So a lot of good fortune this year. Cancer rules the home and the family. So, again, as a patriotic sign, it rules our military. Fortunate times for our military. Should be. Again, it expands things, so could it be military expansion? It also rules home. So that's why we're seeing this nice increase in the housing market since last fall. That was a little early, but home prices are really have gone up dramatically, again, in the past couple months since the spring equinox. So we're going to see a really good year for real estate, which has already been evidenced. Heard a rumor that the foreclosures in Las Vegas, that law has been repealed, and now some of the foreclosures will be coming back on the market because what we've really had here is a lack of inventory. So homes are getting overbid. It's really a seller's market. Do I think it's going to be the bubble it was 12, 13 years ago? Probably not. It's probably going to be a small bubble, and it may not last that long. But it's going to be good right now, especially for the next year. And I think that also ties in with the Bernanke effect. So we can look forward to, and we're enjoying it already, rising real estate prices. So if you're a buyer, you're not in the best position. But as a seller, finally, you know, you can take a deep breath and know that your home is worth a lot more than it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I've noticed that a couple of my places there in Vegas have started, finally gone up. But I've read where that basically homes and values homes is getting secure. It's funny you said about abundance being that it's a Cancer. I think the United States, even though we had a drop, I didn't think that was a minor a correction overall. I think, you know, this is my projection, and it sounds sort of in line with what you just said. And I've always said this, I think things are taking. I'm talking about the United States only, not about the world economy, that we're actually going to become better financially. I mean, I think people are going to start having more jobs. People are going to be working. They're going to be working for a lot more because I think we're heading into inflationary times, obviously. But I think people are going to feel more secured, which is sort of like that being a home, being secured kind of thing. You feel like you're home. You don't, you know, you're not the... Because the worst thing is a person when they feel homeless, and the second, but if they feel they have a home to come to and they don't have to worry and they feel more secure, even simplified. And you had said, interesting enough, again, I'm not going back on some of your comments in retrospect. I remember one aspect you said that the United States is going to have to start learning to take care of itself first for helping others, and it's going to start learning to rebuild our own infrastructure first. And there's sort of like that kind of movement sort of already starting up. I mean, here, even though, and I agree with the immigration thing or reform, but they're also applying first thing, which, they do have to secure our borders, which means basically securing ourselves, securing our own house. So it goes back to what you're talking about, you know, making sure you have a solid foundation before you talk about other things. Take care of your own home first before worrying about sending money left and right all overseas. Start fixing our own selves. And, you know, it's not being narcissistic or egotistic or selfish, but when we have in the United States people who don't even have real health care, people who have, we have a serious problem with our own educational system, not only lack of funds, but a real structure for that. Our own infrastructure is falling apart. I mean, you know, our from bridges to roads and things like that. And now we're finally starting, I think, get it. And I think you hit it almost a while back when you talked about it. So people, I really suggest going back and you can look some of the pattern that's going on and where we are now from past shows I've had with Carrie on my show. And even today, take this to, it's not it's coming. It's like a thing that's being shown to you for a reason, and then you know how to utilize that. So yeah, I think if you have a home, if you're a seller, it's a good time to be a good seller. But if you're a buyer, you better move in fast because things are going to start going up, and you usually want to buy things as they're going up, not when they're going down. But how do you feel with being in the more forefront with, you know, with Cancer and Jupiter coming the fruition, what I just said, if this affects both the United States, how do you feel, you know, that inclusive of all the things that's happening in the near future, whether it's politically or societal, within our own society and with having that aspect in our chart?
Well, just Jupiter and Cancer is going to be good for the nation. It's going to make us, Jupiter rules optimism, so it's going to make us feel a lot more optimistic. Sorry. It's interesting you keep using the term learning. Jupiter rules higher education, so education could become a format. And immigration, that's directly tied to our country. So see big strides or big things happening, because Jupiter's was big, okay? Jupiter's the largest planet. Jupiter does things big. If you say, oh, what did you mean to say about Jupiter? Just remember it's big. Jupiter does things big. So immigration, big topic. Our country, yes, a great time for us for growth and expansion on our own. Now, Pluto's going to lie opposite Jupiter for the first for the last half of this year, okay? So Pluto is power and its challenges. So we're going to be challenged by the economy and the Pluto transformation. The transformation within the economy is going to be challenging our growth, but that's sometimes how you grow more, when you are challenged. Uranus coming into that again is going to stir things up. So we're going to be throwing a curveball every now and then on the world stage. Different things are going to happen that are going to shock us, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. There's going to be things coming at us out of the blue. But what holds us all together is our solidarity and our foundation, which is Saturn. Saturn is foundation and sticking things out in the long run. What you can do if you want an idea of what can happen with Jupiter is go back 12 years ago. What happened 12 years ago that was significant that brought our country together? You recall anything?
Yeah,
9/11. Exactly. And I just looked it up, and Jupiter was in Cancer on 9/11. So it's a lucky time for our nation. You would say, well, that wasn't lucky. But one of the silver linings of that was it really brought our nation together. Americans stood by Americans, and we were, you know, it brought forth a lot of feeling and a lot of patriotism.
That's true. I mean, there was a lot of extreme division, even with politically, and then everybody buried their political differences right after 9/11 because it didn't matter, you know, everybody was, it was attack on us. It was an attack on Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal or libertarian or whatever. It was an attack on us, how we saw it. And then it really did pull in a lot of people in those times together. It really changed. I remember that year, even in Vegas, it was daunting, even economically. I was living in Vegas then, and a lot of the conventions were closed. I had contracts sealed up because there was no planes coming in, and they canceled a lot of the convention shows for almost 3 to 6 months almost. But it was weird. Even there, people stood next to each other, helping one another. And that was the first time I saw it over there in a long, long time. It sort of reminded me of when I lived in Israel during the 80s when the war broke out. And they got really tight and people were there helping each other. So, yeah, that's sort of like the same theme that I say, out of something could be negative, it's really a positive. And, you know, of course, we didn't utilize that, unfortunately. Then we went to, I think what changed was, of course, when we went to Iraq. Otherwise, it would carry through.
No, Jupiter also rules religion, and it rules travel. So religion was a key topic there because the attacks were assumed to the Muslims. And you just said, you know, it's greatly affected the aviation industry and how within the past 10 years, how we travel has changed dramatically, thanks to Jupiter bringing that awareness into You know, it's unfortunate what we all have to go through with the TSA, but ultimately it's for our own protection.
Yeah.
So Jupiter in Cancer 12 years ago changed the way we travel. Jupiter rules travel.
Yeah, and no more of those days you just, used to be the old days, and like if you went to, you can go to the airport in Burbank and catch a flight, drive up to almost to the airplane, catch a flight, be in Vegas in an hour, and you can have a meeting, come back in another hour, and you're done, and all within 3 hours. Today, the same flight would take you 4 hours just through going through in and out of security stuff. So, yeah, it has changed dramatically how we look at things, and you know, it puts things a little bit perspective. I think also that actually helped Americans open their eyes to the world events, how they can't live in a bubble, that things outside directly affect them. And I think that's important because we tend to get isolationists a lot of times. We tend to go, you know, in America, I mean, it's always been a given. World War I, we didn't want to get involved. It's not our business. World War II, we had to be literally attacked till we got in. And then when we do get in things that shouldn't be in there, like Vietnam, then we're going, oh, we retreat back again, and then again we're forced into world events. So, yeah, it takes us in a better perspective, I think, of things. So what do you see as far as other aspects? You were mentioning Uranus or something like that. How does that unfold more? Because I think you said one time Uranus has an area of things that being being illusionary, not real.
That's Neptune. Uranus. That's Neptune.
I apologize.
Okay.
Glad you clarified that. Well, that's because that's being Neptunian. What do you see with the Uranus effect? How is that going to affect us economically here in the United States?
Well, I've covered Uranus pretty good. Like I said, Uranus is going to affect us more on a global stage. This next 3 month period, it's going to throw us curveballs. Uranus rules politics. It also rules earthquakes, explosions, and the unexpected. So it's going to throw us curveballs from now and then. Again, you know, weather patterns and all that are related to Uranus as it lies in a tight, challenging configuration to Pluto, which is transformation. That, you know, we covered pretty good already. I like the fact that you brought up Neptune inadvertently. Neptune is the great illusionist, but it's also a very spiritual and healing planet. And there's a beautiful dynamic in this summer solstice chart. I'm going to throw a little astrology lingo at you. One of the best aspects, the best aspect you can have in an astrology chart is a trine. There's trilogies in astrology. There's three planets of each modality. You have three fire signs. You have three water signs, and you have three air signs. So anytime you have one or more planets in each sign at a degree where they aspect each other, you have what's called a grand trine. And with the summer solstice chart, we have a beautiful grand trine between Neptune, the great spiritual illusionist, the sun, our sun sign of Cancer, and the planet Saturn, which again can be delays and restrictions, but it's also form and structure. And it's traveling in the same sign as the North Node, which rules our destiny, the path we should be on. And this grand trine falls in the modality of water. Water is feeling, emotion. It can be nebulous. And again, Neptune has given rulership to water. You know, it's going with the flow, if you want to take it literally, if you're looking for actual symbolism. Go with the flow.
Adapting.
Take a spiritual approach. Look at the higher lesson as it relates to the mundane, and build a foundation out of the lessons you've learned. And that's how we will forge our destiny. And where that winds up is in the house of children. So again, and it's actually the moon on at the time of the solstice falls in the same sign as Saturn in the North Node, which is Scorpio. So that has a lot to do with banking, investments, other people's money, inheritances, and it falls in the house of children. So we have to be careful how we set up our youth, because our youth is our future.
So in a nutshell, because it seems like almost like a smorgasbord there. I mean, of things happening. In a nutshell, how do you see with the trine?
It's a grand trine.
So how do you see overall the trine? Because it seems like it's hitting a lot of different areas. How would you say if somebody, you know, for an average person sitting there, they're sitting there, how, what's this have to do with, you know, my family? I'm trying to feed my kids. I work 9 to 5. How does that affect them? How would you in a kitchen, sit down in a kitchen and say that to them? You know,
look for the higher spiritual lesson in it. Look for the spiritual meaning. Don't look at just like, oh, my bank's empty and my house has been foreclosed on. Look for the higher spiritual lesson in it. What are you meant to learn? Take that higher spiritual lesson and apply it to your life. What can I do to make myself better? And Jupiter's there to give us an extra boost. Jupiter's visiting us for the first time in 12 years, and next July it won't be back for another 12 years. So we have this it's going to tie right into this. We're going to have luck, knowledge on our side, take the higher spiritual lesson, apply it to what we can do to better ourselves. And then, with Saturn, form a foundation, build a foundation. If you can't build a financial foundation at this time, build a good, solid foundation in faith.
Well, you know, you brought up something that's pretty interesting. You brought up a point of Jupiter being part of education, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if, basically, in another aspect, the United States, the American people are going to go through a really highly positive education with the next year, like learning what's really going on, maybe learning things, how our world is or how we are. I mean, we're learning, I just general knowledge or spiritual knowledge, not just, you know, the learning in school, but adapting to things in a spiritual context. Could that apply?
Absolutely. Jupiter, I think because Pluto, the planet of transformation, is going to be opposite Jupiter, we might see a lot of changes within the education system, maybe more homeschooling. Just like when Jupiter was in Cancer, we had, last time we had changes within the travel industry, we could see changes within the education system. And it was probably about 12 years ago that homeschooling became a lot more popular. Again, that we were at the turn of a new century, and things were changing all the way around. Because each century, there seems to be some significant changes. So definitely changes in regards to education, changes in regards to travel, again. Jupiter rules traditional religion, whereas Neptune rules more spirituality. So, again, if you go back 12 years ago, you'll see people are sort of transcending more away from the doctrines of, you know, different doctrines of religion, Catholicism, Judaism, Protestants. And now people are just sort of blending that into a more spiritual thing where people have their own philosophy and take a little bit from each. I don't know how it was when you grew up, if your family went to temple once a week, but where I grew up, everybody went to church once a week. I don't know a lot of people that go to church once a week. I know some people, but that was just expected of you back, I think, in the mid-last century. Everybody went to church on Sunday. Now people have do their own kind of thing and find their own way to worship, and I think you're going to see more of that coming in because there's an asteroid that I put in all my charts that has to, it's called the Wounded Healer, it's Chiron. It falls next to Neptune in Pisces, which is a very spiritual sign. There's a lot of healing going on. People are healing themselves, and again, through the collective unconsciousness, we're healing everybody. That's why you have your Dr. Phil, your Dr. Drew, we're all sort of focused on healing right now.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I know you play this in the U.S. Would that apply worldwide? Because it's funny you said it, because I remember going to temple every Saturday or whatever back in the 60s. But and then nobody does that. But I think in the world aspect, not just, I think people are questioning more so not just Judeo-Christian, but this is really strange what's going on in Turkey. People are now challenging the old Islam. I think the same sort of happening now in Egypt has started up again. People are questioning for the first time, which is sort of amazing, challenging the Islamic, the cleric foundation of old dogma. I find it's also starting to happen actually really bizarre. It's not even getting hold on the media. I don't know why. But the same thing is taking effect right now in Jordan. There possibly might be an overthrow of the present regime into a secular state in Jordan. But there's a lot of challenges with that. And then yet we have challenges between religions, between Shiite and Sunni, which is actually we're going into, I know you're not doing that, but unfortunately we're going into the World War III of today, which is really between Shiite and Sunni, which is going to probably challenge, why are we dying still over my God is better than your God kind of crap. And people are getting sick of it. I mean, people are getting more wind of it. And I think there's more challenges of the dogma. Even the Catholic Church is, I mean, people look at that as more, I mean, I see more things being challenged within that. And I've always felt that as the Vatican goes down, so will the crescent moon. And I saw that a long time ago, and I still see that. And then I was looking at something, and Nostradamus said sort of the same sort of system scenario happens. So this, I think, also applies within the United States, that everything we're re-questioning our spirituality, because I think we're getting more in tune to who we our true selves is what we are. It's not outside defining what we are, it's within ourselves. And that's why I was saying that when you're talking about the Jupiter and the Cancer scenario, that the education is, you know, you can look at it from the I go to school, but then I think it's an even greater sin, because people change, because you don't fix yourself mentally, you have to fix yourself spiritually. And I think in the spiritual way, people are fixing them spirit through the spiritual means, which is causing a tug of war on the old way of looking at things. So and that might be what you're touching on with the Pluto effect, where there's a massive, again, you look at, in retrospect, another transformation, maybe of our own belief system, on our own spiritual beliefs, to push us on the right track kind of thing. So what do you see? I remember one time you had spoken about our health system, and I know we're heading into 2014, and unfortunately, we never really, the Obamacare system, which has never been the real, what was promised to us, the public option, it's a joke. But what do you foresee off of that? Because I remember you had one time spoken of the issue of that aspect of the health. How is this going to affect our health?
Well, I think the modern way to look at health, people are embracing more. I mean, Neptune, going back to Neptune rules chemicals, pharmaceuticals, prescription drugs, street drugs. And again, it's traveling in the same sign as the healing planet. So big pharmacy is huge right now. And we look at those commercials on TV that promote all these wonder drugs. And then a few years later, we find out they have drastic side effects, which they do say in the commercial, but you have to listen to catch it. But if those who embrace the more spiritual path, which is a tradition, age-old yogatsu philosophy, that all healing begins in the mind, all illnesses stem from the mind, and if you want to really heal yourself physically, you have to go to the psychological root of thing. And Neptune being in Pisces, which it just moved in last year and will be for many, many years to come, its home sign, I think is going to focus more on psychological healing. and those that are brave enough to go within themselves, Neptune ruling meditation, and looking at their health from a psychological perspective and addressing those issues. I'm a big proponent of Louise Hay. She's sort of done the modern version of it and made it so if you really want to follow this, Louise Hay is where you want to go. Because she's made it, she sort of brought it down to the masses and made it so everybody can read it and understand it. It's just a matter of whether or not people want to embrace it. And being that this year Neptune's traveling in a really positive configuration to Jupiter, a trine, that it'll give us opportunity, to follow that path, to look into that path. Like, gee, why have I had this chronic condition all my life? Is there a deeper issue? So it's about the psychological healing. Is how I would say it.
Okay.
Going deep. You have to go within, and a lot of people aren't ready or willing to do that. So it's those who are willing to look within themselves. You know, that old cliche, meditation is medication. And
right.
Not relying on the outside force like doctors or drugs to heal our problems.
So, and Richard, how do you feel as we head in 2014 with being with that, with also the Obamacare taking into full force next year? Because you talked about the Jupiter being an aspect going through 24, coincidentally, that's the same time Obamacare is officially in. You have to have it. You have to have health care, otherwise you get taxed or whatever. I mean, or penalized. However they want to twist it. What's your feeling with that? With based upon our chart?
Well, this chart only covers the next 3 months, so I don't really have any thoughts or opinions on that yet.
Okay.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm not that forward thinking. I guess maybe it's part of my own denial issue. I don't want to deal with it because I gave up my health insurance a long time ago because I take responsibility for my own health. And again, that's when you're getting into big government, right? Government controlling the health care. It's supposed to be for the better good and save us money, but then it becomes like the welfare system. We're supporting people that don't want to take care of their health. And that becomes, which is already a burden on us, because my health care costs are high based on all the people that haven't taken care of themselves. And now I would have to pay for that. And I choose not to.
Yeah.
Because I'm a healthy person. So I don't want to be penalized for that. And I think you might see some, I don't think it's going to go over well. Health care is about going outside yourself to heal the problem. Whenever you're dealing with anything spiritual, it's all about going within to heal the problem, whether it's a physical problem, an emotional problem, even a relationship. If you're always blaming your partner or you're going outside yourself and blaming others, you're not getting to the root of the problem. What's your role in the situation?
Right.
And that becomes a whole nother issue. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that we're in spiritual times now, and this influence is going to be around for many, 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 many years to come. We're just scratching the surface. I don't know. We'll have to see how this whole Obama administration plays out, period. I think it's just one of many insignificant issues right now.
Right. Well, I'm just curious on that because you had mentioned a long time ago about that. The other aspect, and I know we're heading to Ling, I wanted to get in, I forgot to get into it, was on the short term, where are we as far as energy-wise? Because, I mean, gas prices have been shooting up, but we're now paying over $4 per gallon for gas. I know that's pretty low for Europeans, but, yeah, for Americans, that's pretty high. Looking back, before Obama became the president, we were paying less than $2. Now we're paying $4. Where do you, in the short term, you know, you mentioned Pluto, and I think that affects energy, if I'm not right. What do you see as far as that aspect? Any changes within the next 3 months or something?
Well, when I go to gas and oil, I go back to Neptune. Neptune rules gas and oil. And in the solstice chart, it falls in the ninth house, which is foreign sources. So we're still dependent on foreign oil. And that's just going to be it. That's why it's expensive. It's still dependent on foreign oil. However, Neptune falls into the grand trine. So because of our dependency on foreign oil and how it's hurting us, say, economically, we will have to look to Jupiter in Cancer, which is our country, and being fortunate, look to our own resources. It's gonna be in a positive way, not a negative way. If trines are positive, Jupiter incidentally also rules gambling. So we might have to gamble on some of our natural resources.
Because we do have our own natural gas, but. And people questioned about ground cracking. We actually have more oil from the shale itself and also natural gas more than all the Gulf nations put together, more than Saudi Arabia. We actually have more oil than all that area, which they discovered. But there's questions on cracking, as they call it, which is, you know, forcing water and pulling out the oil within the shale itself and the rocks, and then exposing the gas elements out, and then, you know, but that's curious. It's just one aspect I was just curious about, because I know this is short term on that, and we're going to probably look more long term in the near future. But I know we're heading to the end, and I want to thank you again, Carrie, for coming on the show. It's highly it's like, you know, for some reason when I listen to your our show, I have to go back and listen to the archive. Because there's so much things in there that are pretty detailed. And for those who are listening, I suggest possibly it'll probably go back on archive probably no later than Monday. Tell your friends to listen in. It directly affects us. In retrospect, you can sort of like weather, you know, prepare yourself for any weather report, whether rain or shine, you know, weather to what to wear. But, Carrie, I want you to disclose how they can contact you. You know, you said zodiacbuzz.com. How can they contact you through email to perhaps get a reading or astrological analysis or questions? How would they be able to do that?
The best way to get any kind of information is to go to my website, zodiacbuzz.com. I have all the important things that we talked about today, say maybe the eclipses, on as bullet points on the front page of my website, and where to look on my website for more information, plus links to anything you might need to know. For astrological charts in that, prices vary depending on what you want. The best way to contact me is through email, and we can set up an appointment. If I have to exchange more than 3 or 4 emails with you to set up an appointment, it's no longer worth my time. I'm sorry. Know what you want. If you have questions, that's fine, but know what questions you want to ask, and we can get that sorted out. Email me, and we will go ahead with an astrological forecast. I'm only doing personal tarot card readings by referrals only, so they'd have to be a personal referral of you, Andy. Because of my other business, my other endeavors, I've kind of cut back on that, and I'm focusing more on parties and events. So if you have an event coming up, especially if you're in the Las Vegas area, and you want a tarot card reader for your party or an astrologist to go around and tell people their fortunes that way, please contact me via email for that. And my email is carriefezza1@gmail.com. All that information is on my website, zodiacbuzz.com. And I'm perfectly willing to travel for the right price and fees. Love doing parties and events. It's the best way to reach the majority of people for the cheapest price.
Well,
so the more people you can gather together, the more likely I am to be there.
Well, I want to thank you, Carrie, once again for coming on my show. Again, I feel very honored to have you again. And for all those out there, I want to thank you for all you listening out there for this show, past shows, and future shows. Of course, thanking BBS Radio for producing the show. Again, God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. And again, happy solstice. Goodbye. Thank you. God bless.